9. Don't look back. Enoch, formerly Ralph Zimmerman, had been a clever man and a paranoid man and an unwell man. He had read a lot of texts and soaked them in his clever, anxious, frightened mind and produced signs and portents, warnings of disaster, and promises of salvation. His daughter, Martha, left the compound early one morning before anyone was awake. She took money and a gun. She must have walked and hitched rides and taken buses, and although they drove for days looking for her, she was gone, and she wasn't coming back. Enoch knew that Martha leaving was a sign of something. He felt the forces of chaos lurking all around. He suspected traitors. He shouted for justice. He became angry and impatient with his flock. He ruminated and chewed over Martha's betrayal. Eventually, he asked the Lord to send him a sign. A sign of whether the community they had founded on these 15,000 green acres was blessed by God. He sent some of his followers into the woods to hunt and gather for 3 days, and took those who remained behind, a great number, more than 100 people, into the large basement of the main building on the compound. There he told them that they would undertake 3 days of fasting and prayer. They would drink only water. They would remain awake for as long as they could. He locked the door of the basement. He hurled the key through the tiny barred window to the east, the one that faced the rising sun. He prayed for guidance, called on the Lord to show them the way. He preached, those who were there remembered, night and day. They slept and dozed to the sound of Enoch's preaching and woke to the same prophesying voice. It was in these hours that he preached the sermon of Rabbit and Fox for the final time, and those who heard it said that he had at last united heaven and earth in his words, and it was beautiful and holy, and they knew that God was listening to them and to their prayers. They became certain as the hungry hours ticked past that their community was about to experience a miraculous visitation from the Lord, because the purpose of the world had been fulfilled by this small gathering, and it was time now for the whole thing to be rolled up and put away. Those 2 days and nights of eating no food, drinking only water, sleeping in only brief snatches were the most beautiful of their lives. On the third day, they smelled smoke. Some said, it must have been the government. There had been FBI and CIA agents poking around the Enochites for years. They just got tired of them and wanted them gone. Some said, the electrical wiring in the compound was always unsafe. There had been 2 small fires in the past year, and 2 of the Enochites were training as electricians in order to begin to work on it themselves. It had been a hot, dry summer. Something in the workshop sparked out and caused the fire. Some said it was Enoch himself who did it. He hadn't thrown the key out. He had kept it and let himself out in the early morning when the others were sleeping. He knew where the previous electrical fires had started in the workshop. He set a fire there, next to the pile of grease-soaked rags, made sure it caught, and let himself back into the basement to wait for the Lord's judgment. Some said there was an electrical storm in the early morning of that day over the 15,000 green acres, and some tiny spark raised the flames. It was the Lord, himself and no seraph, himself and no messenger, himself and no stranger, the Lord who had looked at the compound and said, destroy them, smite them, wipe them out. Some of the Enochites, when they smelled the smoke, worked together to smash the small eastern window near the ceiling of the basement and piled up furniture to climb out. Some of them encouraged the others and hauled one another out, scrambling up through broken glass, flesh bloody and torn, choking and coughing. And those people shared the story and told how Enoch had said, let them go. The Lord will show us the way. Martha was 12 weeks gone from the compound when she heard the news of the tragic fire. She was in a corridor waiting for an interview with the GED program. They would give her funding and accommodation if she qualified for a place. The corridor was painted pale green and white. The walls scuffed like someone had driven a truck through there. Martha sat on a hard plastic chair outside an office door, and on a small table next to her was a 3-week-old newspaper with a photograph of the burned-out compound on page 6. If it hadn't been folded just like that, she might not have seen it for another month or more. The theories about the FBI or the CIA came much later. At the start, it was just a tragic fire at a farm. News, but not big news. She put her hand to the page, touched the picture of the burned dining hall, the chain-link fence. She ripped the piece out of the newspaper, stuffed it into her jeans pocket, and then feared that she might have been seen, that they would call her a vandal. She straightened her mind. Don't think of it. Don't let it in. Don't look back. The door opened. The woman called her name. For 35 minutes of the interview, Martha was enthusiastic and articulate. She got her funding. She was on her way. She didn't look back.